And you know, we say this every conference. We like to come to the end of our session. We've had some admonition, exhortation, some exciting reports of what the Lord is doing in the foreign field. But then we like to get to this point in the conference, and before we leave, just have a little quiet time, a little devotional period. And so, Brother Jim will lead us in a devotional closing message. Jim McKendrick.
I'd like to read one verse again in Matthew chapter 5. You don't have to turn to it if you'd like to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I just want to read this theme verse for today. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now I'd like to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'd like to read the entire chapter. I don't intend to say a great deal about it. I'll just leave you with a thought as we go home. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes. The abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but though our outer man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look at the things which are seen, but the things that are not seen, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We have considered today the darkness of the world in which we live. That's not a new thought to any of us, but it's good for us to draw apart for a few moments to think about the kind of world in which we live. We have tried to emphasize, both Larry and myself have tried to emphasize, the fact that we are children of light in this darkness. Larry has looked at some ways in which we can function in this darkness. He talked to us about good works. He talked to us about presenting ourselves to God in worship. He talked to us about holding the Word, not denying the name of Jesus Christ. And now, just for a few brief moments, I would like to consider in closing the aim of our ministry for God. That is, to glorify our Father, which is in heaven. We have been given, each one of us has been given a wonderful, wonderful ministry. For what we have been given is the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. That has been given to us. It is the life, it is the glorious life of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We have been made alive in Christ Jesus. The Spirit of God indwells us, and the Spirit of God demonstrates, brings us into the reality of the wonder of the light, the knowledge of God. I wonder, sometimes I sit back in a quiet moment, and I begin to think, of all the knowledge that is in this world, of all the knowledge that is at our fingertips, I haven't quite reached the 20th century yet. I'm not into the internet. I don't necessarily want to be in it. But to punch a button and to have the knowledge that is available on a screen in front of us instantly boggles my imagination. But you know what? What should boggle our imagination is this, that you and I are the receptacles of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And all else is but loss. All else is but a dunghill. All else will fail. All else is going to be burned up. There is one reality. There is one knowledge. There is one glory that shall never fade, that shall never change. And throughout the endless ages of eternity, I would like to believe, and I think I have some aspects of the Scripture which would indicate this, that throughout the ages of eternity, you and I are going to constantly be brought into a greater awareness of the glory of the God that we serve. And there is nothing more wonderful than that. And yet how easy it is for me to be caught up in who won the basketball game. And don't get me wrong, you know, you can root for your team as you want. Oh, but friend, There's nothing like the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And to think that He has put that glory into an earthen vessel, a clay pot, cracked. I'm getting to that stage. Ugh. A clay pot that needs its glasses and he can't run like it used to and can't stay up as long as it used to and can't focus as long as it used to. All the outer man perishes, but the inner man is renewed day by day because the life of Christ in us is a spring of water. Not a well, and not a cistern. A spring of fresh, daily, growing experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. And every time I read this book, every time I read the same passage, every time I study the same section, there's new and there's fresh, there's wonderful revelations of God that I see. Why didn't I see it before? I come to a conference like this and I listen to a brother preach, man, I never heard. That's great. That's good stuff. You know, how many times have I read that passage and I didn't see it quite in that light? We've all done it. Why? Because this is being renewed daily in our lives. It will never grow old. It will never decay. It will only grow more glorious as time goes on. Why? A very simple reason. So that the glory may be His and not ours. Oh, the moment we begin to glory in who we are, the moment we begin to glory in what I am as a man, or who I am as a man, the moment I begin to glory in flesh, the moment I begin to praise a man, the Lord has had to bring me face to face with that on occasion in my life and discover once again and afresh that it's God in the man that I glory in. I'm thankful for the man, but I glory in the God that he presents to me, not in the man himself. And I think as I stand before you, that if you don't see God, if somehow I miss pointing you to Christ, I've missed the whole point of why I'm here. If you don't leave this place this afternoon with a fresh appreciation of the glory of God, we've missed it. I missed it. Because it is as I am involved and impressed and enlightened with the glory of God within me that I will be motivated to live as a light for Him. And believe me, I realize that there is nothing that I can say, there's nothing that Larry can say that can change any one of your minds. It is only if by the Spirit of God, God can use these clay vessels to somehow bring to your mind the glory of God that this conference will have any effect in anyone's life. The glory belongs to Him. But that gives me a responsibility, doesn't it? Responsibility is seen in verse 2. Number one, renounce. That is to disown. That is to repudiate the hidden things of darkness or shame in my life. It is to first of all examine me and to see what there lies within me that is of the darkness and repudiate it in my own life. I have that responsibility because it is the light of God that needs to shine. And my own unholiness will mar the brightness of the light. I will need to walk. That is, I need to order the path of my light in such a way that there is no deceit, as I mentioned before, that it is transparent, that I walk in truth. It is that I will, to the best of my ability, handle this word, not in a way that corrupts the word, not in a way that twists the word to my preconceived ideas, not to handle the word of God in such a way that it corrupts, but that your conscience will be able to say yes to the truth that is spoken as it is based in the Word of God. For your conscience will tell you whether what has been said is right or wrong. And it is the truth of the Word of God that each one of us must live by in clear conscience. And so I shall not handle the Word of God in such a way that it will corrupt it, will twist it, will change it, will damage the glory of the God that it reveals to us. So that the light that is in me, the light that has shone in me, has illuminated my soul and my heart, will shine out, that you might see it, that you might come in contact, not with me, but with the light. And the light of God's Word will affect the change in your life that is necessary. And whatever the cost to me personally is of no consequence. It is only that God might be glorified in my life. That is the only aim. That is the only focus of our lives. And when we live like that, the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. And those around about us will see the light and be convicted by the light. And the light will come to their hearts and shine in the darkness of their hearts, that they might see the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And one at a time, the light will go around the world. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for the glorious person that has been revealed to our hearts, even your Son. Our Father, we thank you that you sent him into this world that he might be the brightness of your glory, the express image of your person, that we might be able to hear and see and contemplate and touch life that is God's. Now, Father, we thank you that this wonderful life, this eternal life, is ours to have and to possess, to enjoy. Now, Father, we thank you that we have been given the wonderful privilege, as well as the awesome responsibility, to be lights in this world in which we live, that the world might know that we have been with Jesus, that the world might see something of the light, of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, as we influence them toward the light. Father, we would pray that our lights would shine not only in our own local assemblies, in our own local neighborhoods, but that the light would shine so brightly there that it would reach and stretch around the entire world, that we might carry forth this wonderful message from here to the ends of the world, as you have commanded us to do. So, our Father, we thank you for this day together. Help us to rejoice in the glory of who you are and see our responsibility before you as lights in this world. Receive our thanksgivings in his own worthy and precious name. Amen.
What's your wattage? That's on the cover of your programs. We want you to take that along with you in your minds and appropriate that to your life as you look through this coming week. And as you do go through the coming week, could we ask you to add specifically to your prayer list a request for God's guiding hand of surgeons in the matter of eye surgery? And while I was asked to make the announcement for one, this applies to two. And so your prayers to the throne of grace can be on behalf of two gentlemen, our brother Carl Lehman, who was just addressing us, and our brother Sam Robinson, president of CMML, are both going to have some eye surgery in the next couple of weeks. So please, if you would, remember them before the throne of grace. Bow our hearts. Our God and Father, our hearts truly have been humbled before you this day. The messages that we have heard in so many different ways, so many different fields, have touched our lives. As we consider joy in the growth of your work in Spain, consider the need for additional workers there, we commit that to you. We've looked at a country in South America that has been devastated, and our thoughts have been directed to the awful terror of an earthquake, and we're reminded what your word says about a day which is yet to come, when it won't be a question of people hiding under pine tables, but the devastation will be so great that they will actually be pleading for the very mountains to fall upon themselves. And you and your mercy and your grace and your love for us have touched each of our lives here today. And we don't have to look forward to that moment of time for ourselves, but oh, how that indicts our hearts for concern for those that we come in contact with that do not know the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives. And Father, as we have already said to you, we're humbled by the very thought that as he was the light of this world, he is with you, seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. And he's left the message to go forward through such as ourselves.
that we are now the light of the world. We thank you that it's not our light, but it's his light shining in us. Shining in us because of a tremendous price that was paid, the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. How can we do less than live for him completely as we've been challenged this very day? We thank you that even as we have seen the blackness of the world round about us, we realize that the blacker the darkness of sin is, the brighter the light of Jesus Christ shines. And we confess that responsibility before you this day as we would leave. Thank you for every remembrance of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done in the name of the one for whom it has been done, an almighty Creator God. Thank you for being there. Father, as we part and go our separate ways, we ask your blessing upon each one. We have been reminded of the eye surgery that two of our brethren will be undergoing this next week. Only you, Lord, know the outcome of that surgery. How good it is to be able to leave these two in your loving hands for whatever may come about, that it may be to your honor and to your glory. We ask that they may be well aware of your presence with them, with the comfort and the strength that they receive as they commit those days of surgery to you. So as we part, we ask your blessing now. May we go forward with the challenge that has been before us this day, igniting our hearts once again to the responsibility we have before you, that as we have received Christ Jesus as Lord, so we may walk before you. Thank you for this day in Jesus' precious name. Amen.